bum 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 bum.
No, I did the last time.
Okay, well, so begins episode 4, KGB Radio, official podcast for knowngriefers.com. I am your host, Rock, editor on knowngriefers.com. Joining me tonight, Chris Linnendahl. Chris, how's it going?
Hi, it's good to be here, you mook.
Oh, great. also joining us, special guest, Matt Thompson. Matt, how's it going?
Howdy.
Hi. And co-host, friend of the site, super user, Pat Ronk. Pat, how are you?
Yeah, Matt took my introduction.
Oh, asshole. All right, that out of the way. We're starting a little bit late tonight, but that's okay. It means that we're just more marinated. It's like a steak that gets better.
By drunk, you mean marinated, so.
Yes, except the reverse of that. Anyway, moving on, we're going to start with what have you been playing. So, Chris, what have you been playing?
Batman
Episode 1.
Batman, the Arkham Asylum.
Oh, yes, great.
I put that back in just so I could relearn the controls for the game.
That's what you said.
I don't even know what that means.
It kind of worked. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. So I got Arkham City coming Tuesday morning. And I'll play through that next week. Hopefully I have a review up by the weekend. And so I hopped back in Arkham Asylum just to learn the controls and the combat system again. Got my ass handed to me. And realized that I'm going to have to try a lot harder to finish Arkham City in time.
It's
not going to be good.
Well, you know,
we'll
see.
The game will be good. My skills won't be.
Have you seen some outlets already have reviews up?
I've seen the scores. I'm trying not to actually read the text, so I don't have anything spoiled for me.
Yeah. I did the same. I know that our favorite Games Radar, their review, they gave it a 10 out of 10.
So. And Giant Bomb gave it a 5 out of 5. So.
Yeah, it's looking pretty good.
It's just a matter of how good it will be, I imagine.
Yeah. One of the specific points that
Don't tell me.
No. Games Radar, Charlie Barrett. One of the things, you know, they do, you know, three things you'll love, three things you'll hate. I was kind of anxious to see the things, you know, that you'll hate about it, and the third point was actually you'll hate wondering whether any game will be able to top this one.
Oh,
which
shit.
I thought was pretty strong. Wow. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it. I didn't read any of the text because, like you, I didn't want to have anything spoiled for me. But yeah, with something, you know, with words like that, I'm pretty confident that it'll kick some ass.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Also,
jumped into the new NBA Jam that just came out on XBLA, On Fire Edition.
How are you liking that?
It's NBA Jam. It's NBA Jam with new rosters, new players. Super fun.
Is it now your jam?
What?
Never mind. Sorry.
I remember playing NBA Jam like crazy when I was a kid. I mean, graphically, is it you know, improved? Is it pretty much the same?
It's improved, but it looks like how you remember it.
Okay.
I mean, if you went back to the Sega Genesis and played that one, it would look like terrible, you know, pixelated shit.
Of course.
But this new, you know, it's HD. The player heads are like scanned in photos, and it plays like how your memory thinks NBA Jam was.
Does it have a whole bunch of unlockable characters like the old ones too?
Yep, totally.
Is Dan Emmerich still in it?
Dan Emmerich's not in it. Friend of the site. But
yes, friend of the site, Dan Emmerich. OneOfSwords.com.
Yeah, it's totally worth the $15. It's not a full retail release. It's only $15. If you have any interest in, you know, nostalgic value of NBA Jam, it's totally worth it. It has all the players from the 80s and 90s in it, too.
Scottie Pippen?
I don't know. Don't put me in the spot.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry. Now, does it have the... the announcer guy goes, "He's on fire."
Yep.
Is that guy?
I don't know. I don't know if it's the same guy or a guy doing an uncanny impersonation of him, but it definitely has the same enthusiastic announcer.
That was one of my favorite parts of that game.
Yeah. He's got all new things to say.
Great. Great. Guy saying new stuff.
Yep. And one other thing, but I forget. Well, it was
probably wrestling.
It was SmackDown 2009.
Great. Just great.
Yep. Yep. WWE 12 comes out November 22nd. Reserve your copy now.
You know. Or no.
If you reserve ahead of time, you get The Rock as a playable character.
Great.
Yes.
Speaking of upcoming games, though, I definitely need to start paying attention to release dates because there's definitely games coming out that I want to play, but I haven't been watching the dates. And I know that I have some of them reserved even, and it's like, oh, shoot, those are coming out next week.
Yeah, this week has been pretty much the last week that we'll be quiet until December.
we are with some trepidation looking at November and December and just going like, oh, shit, this is gonna be busy. It's gonna be a busy, busy month. Matt, how about you? What have you been playing this week?
A little bit of World of Warcraft, but I've really weaned myself off of that and don't play it very much anymore.
Good for you.
A little bit of Eco and Shadow of the Colossus, but really just to like see how they look and how they feel. Because I never really did get to play Eco, but Shadow of the Colossus, I really just took down the first Colossus and moved on because I played through that whole game. I know that you guys have talked about that a bit, and I do want to go back and definitely play all the way through both of them again, probably. Just such great games.
You know, I never played Eco. I did play Shadow of the Colossus, though, and it rocked my face. That game is awesome.
You should totally play Eco.
I actually have bought Shadow of the Colossus 3 times now, and
what?
This is my second time buying Eco, because I bought Shadow of the Colossus when it first came out, played all the way through, and then, you know, a year or two later was like, wow, I want to play that again. So I bought it again and played it a little bit, but not all the way through. And then learned that the pack was coming out and traded both of those two games back in so that I could get the pack for PS3.
Nice.
And the Eco on PS2 brings like $40-$50 used.
Still?
Still. Yep.
Wow, that's
really
amazing. Damn.
A bit of NHL 12. Not a huge sports game fan, but I am a hockey fan. Just went to the Adirondack Phantoms game tonight. That was exciting. They won 6-3, so
we
might actually have a good team this year.
Holy crap.
3 power play goals. A guy had a hat trick. It was exciting.
That is always exciting. Huh. I hope to go sometime this season.
I have been to a single hockey game ever, and it was the Phantoms. And, you know, despite my best efforts, I managed to get excited a little bit.
Yeah, they got a new coach this year, and I think that was a big problem with their lackluster teams previous season, so hopefully they'll actually do good, and maybe they'll get good crowds.
Yeah, I find with, like, hockey that you just, like, if you go, it's I don't know, it's always, like, exciting.
Definitely a sport that's a lot more fun to use in person, or to watch in person.
Yeah, yeah. Just getting drunk and eating nachos and watching hockey is like one of the best times you can have.
Interesting. All right, moving on. Pat, how about you? What have you been playing this week?
I wanted to put more time into Eco and Shadow Colossus, but I didn't get to. But I managed to put a few hours into Dark Souls.
Oh, nice. How is that treating you?
I don't know how to explain it. Like, I just always want to come back to it, but even though I know I'm going to get my ass handed to me.
Interesting. Now, you know, like, I've heard a lot of people talking about, you know, this game and how awesome it is and how, you know, like, old school it is. And listening to Talk Radar, most recent Talk Radar, it was really interesting. One of their newer guys, a guy named Hollander Cooper, he actually expressed something that kind of echoed my own feelings, which was like, no, that game doesn't see like a lot of people are talking about how it's like, you know, basically people are giving it maybe too much credit and maybe just mistaking like kind of shitty design for like intentional hardcoreness. And I just thought that was an interesting counterpoint to, you know, all the raving that's going on about it. I'm not saying that I necessarily agree, but maybe on the outside that's just what it kind of seems like. You kind of just you know, designed a shitty game, and are flaunting it instead of, you know, as like, no, we meant it to be this way. Like, it's supposed to be this way.
That's like saying the room is actually like, wait, no, this isn't.
Hang on.
Very good. Yeah. No, never mind. I went in a completely like opposite direction with that, and that doesn't really equate to this at all. So never mind.
Yeah, the room. Oh God.
Well, it's kind of like, well, because he obviously did not create that movie, like, to be a comedy, but that's how he tries to sell it now.
Yeah.
And yeah. He's trying to pull that off, and it's pretty obvious that it's not a good movie.
I think I see the connection that you're drawing there.
No, I do. They're trying to market it as something that they didn't mean for it to be.
But, I mean, that's what... I don't think that argument really works with Dark Souls or even Demon's Souls.
I don't know. I haven't played it. I look at that game and I go like, no, this game is going to make me break controllers.
I'm so interested just to play it.
I am. I know. I am too. Like I watched a whole bunch of like gameplay footage of it and stuff, and I'm so interested in it. But at the same time, I know that game is just going to kill me.
It looks like nothing I would ever enjoy, ever.
I know, and yet you can't help but be drawn to it, right?
Well, I mean, like, you know, one of the first things I ever put up on the site was an article about how I play games on easy, because I don't have a lot of gaming time. I like to have, you know, 8-hour campaigns, and I don't like to lose or die, ever. And Demon's Souls, Dark Souls seems like the complete opposite of that.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
And yeah, I still want to play it so bad.
Yeah, I played Demon's Souls and defeated the first two bosses, but I never went back to it after that. It's one of those games that like you gotta really stick with, because once you stop playing it, you kind of lose the skills, and it's hard to get back into.
Absolutely.
Exactly, and I would hate to spend $60 on it and never touch it.
I kind of, like, after I got Demon's Souls, it was about 2 years ago, and I played it, I beat only like the first boss, I think, and I kind of set it aside and actually just told other people to play it. But for some reason, like, Dark Souls has really kind of hooked me now, and I'm having a lot of fun with it. And I'm similar where like I generally play games on easy just so I can, you know, play them, since my time is pretty limited.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I haven't really been playing a lot this week. I haven't really had a lot of time. I've been doing a lot of stuff, like on the back end of the site, just working some stuff out. But I played a little bit of Oblivion for a feature that I'm going to be doing a weekly feature in the lead up to Skyrim coming out. So. I don't know, I should be posting my first one of those within a few days. Yeah, it started, the genesis of the idea was, you know, I wanted to do a, I was kind of inspired by our Fallout discussion and how apparently I let loose my psychotic urges in open world games. And I wanted to start an Oblivion character where I was basically just a highwayman. I would just, you know, kill people on the road in passing and rob them. I don't really know how that's going to work out. I'm going to basically do like a weekly like travelogue like update. I don't really know how far the highwayman thing's going to take me, but you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. So far, I'm just kind of leveling up to just get a little bit more beefy, and you know, we'll see. I also had the idea of getting powerful enough to make an attempt at just wiping out all the NPCs in the world, but I think that would take me months And
yeah,
don't have that much time.
Actually,
oh, go ahead.
Oh, I just read a really funny forum post about Oblivion. This guy woke up after a drunken evening the next day, and he had played Oblivion for 4 hours and had racked up something like, I don't know, 3,000 murders and 100,000 coin bounty, and he spent like 1,000 days in jail to remedy that.
And he didn't remember any of that?
He didn't remember any of it.
That is awesome.
I bought my friend Adam Oblivion Game of the Year Edition on clearance at Target for like $10 last year. And should I play that? Should I ask him for it? Or should I just wait for Skyrim?
You know, honestly, at this point, I'd wait on Skyrim. I mean, it's close enough. I would just wait.
Okay.
There's still fun to be had, but I mean, at this point, I don't know. After Skyrim comes out, it's just gonna look dated. So
I love Fallout 3, but I didn't get New Vegas because I wasn't really into the bugs and the price of it.
Yeah.
But and I'm not really a fantasy fan, but I love the playstyle and the world of Fallout 3. So I'll probably just jump into Skyrim, and hopefully it won't be so Dungeons and Dragons-y.
It definitely looks like they've made some enhancements to kind of improve playability. The Elder Scrolls games, you know, going back, have been really, really hard to get into. And, you know, each iteration, you know, each new game in the series has gotten easier and easier to get into. And I really think that with Skyrim, they're really going to, you know, really kind of break that barrier, and I think it'll be pretty accessible. It looks really good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Skyrim quite a bit, but it probably won't be until next year that I actually get to play it.
Yeah, same here. I'm not doing the review, so I'm not going to pick it up just yet.
I think around the same time the Skyward Sword, the new Zelda game, that'll be out, so I need to focus on that anyway.
We will have a Skyrim review, though.
Yes, kinda. Yes, we absolutely will. Humor Tumor is gonna be handling that for us.
From the grave.
Yes, yeah. Yes, from the beyond. In fact, he just posted from the afterlife a really great article about Resident Evil 4 HD remake. So I'm glad to see that not only are there Xboxes in the afterlife, but also, you know, the afterlife is up to date on new releases.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's nice to have like confirming on those kind of things.
Oh God. He was so young. So beautiful.
I barely knew him.
We'll miss him.
You really did barely know him. That was, yeah. Well, all right.
Rock, where have you been playing?
We already talked about that. Oblivion.
Oh, Jesus. Sorry. I was peeing.
You were peeing. yep, Oblivion. I was just talking about the what I'm doing with that. Can go back and listen to it on Sunday.
Yeah, I won't do that.
Okay.
I think Matt might have had one more still.
Yeah, Rock just went on and ignored me. But Infamous 2 is what I've been mostly playing.
Oh boy.
I picked up a Gamefly subscription and have been going back through games that I wanted to play but never did. And so that's the one that I have right now. But I'm kind of thinking that some of the other games coming out this fall will end up being similar playthroughs, because I only have so many gaming dollars and they cannot go to every single game that I want this fall. That's like 12 of them that are coming out.
Yeah, there's way too many coming out this season. I mean, that happens every year. We always get, like, fall is insane.
Yeah, and I have a few of them reserved even, and I don't know if I'm going to even pick those up. Like, Skyrim I definitely will, because it's a time investment, you know? That's not something you want to rent. But
yeah, definitely.
There's some others that are just like, well, I'll probably play them once, and then I wouldn't really need them anymore, so.
Yeah. Definitely. Speaking of pre-orders, a little bit later on in the podcast, we're going to be announcing the winners of the Battlefield 3 contest. So hopefully the people who have a hat in that ring are listening, because this is the first opportunity you're going to have to find out whether or not you won.
So, I knew I should have posted an entry.
Yeah, you should have, because competition was fierce, and then not so much. You probably had a good shot at that. So, anyway, we're going to move on to just a couple of news stories. The first one
I have a news story.
Oh, shit. All right, great.
So, the other day, I'm leaving my house to go to work, and my neighbor stops me. He's a nice guy. I moved in here about 6 months ago, and his brother and he both live in this apartment building I live in, which is actually, it used to be like a motel or like the bunks for like a Boy Scout camp.
It was a whorehouse.
No, it wasn't. My front yard down the hill is a basketball court, and my backyard down the hill is a baseball field. So this used to be like a summer retreat camp, and the place where I live used to be the bunks for like the counselors or something. So this place I live is already weird, but it's great. And so my neighbor stops me, and he's like, "Hey, you drink?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I drink, you know, as much as I want to."
Constantly.
And, which it would be constantly. So he says, "You know, wait here. I have something for you." And I'm like, "Oh, I'm going to get raped." This is great. So I wait for him. He goes in, and he comes back with two beer bottles, which have this like crazy bondage-looking contraption on the top. And he tells me he's a home brewer, which is kind of surprising for the small amount of space we have in these apartments here, that he has a whole brewing contraption set up.
So he's going to make you go blind first, then rape you?
Yeah, right. He's like, you know, this is my roofie colada. So he hands me these two beers, and he tells me they're sweet pumpkin rye, which sweet potato rye, which I love sweet potatoes. I hate beer. So it's a 50-50 chance of these being terrible. And he tells me that he carbonated them too much, so open them outside, because when he opened them, he had a fountain pouring out of one of them. So this is already turning out great. And he also tells me that it's like 8 or 9% alcohol because he put too much alcohol in it.
Oh, wow.
Which is a lot for beer.
Yeah, I think that's usually like 6 or
exactly.
At the most.
Yeah, 6 so is usually pretty good.
So he hands me these two beers, and they've got this crazy thing on the top, and he tells me to open them outside. He tells me it was made of sweet potatoes, and he tells me that there's sediment in them.
Like sand?
Like like chunks of sweet potato.
Ugh.
And he tells me, "Don't worry about it. It's not going to kill you." So I got these two beers. So I got these two beers still sitting in my fridge. And I think I'm going to wait to drink them until I can give Rock the other one and we can share the experience together.
Oh, looking forward to it. We should do it next Friday.
On the live cast.
Yes, yeah, we'll do a live taste test. It'll be awesome.
Yep.
And I promise to get the bottle back to you soon.
You won't, with my Batman comics and my DVDs.
I've had a bag of Chris's DVDs for over a year now.
About 2 years.
Oh, wow. Whatever.
Who's keeping track?
I am.
Oh, okay. Well, you know.
Now it's on record.
You might be surprised how little space it takes to brew, though. I know I had a friend in college who brewed cider in his dorm room, so you don't need as much space as you would think.
It seems incredibly messy and smelly.
I don't have any personal experience, so I can't speak to that.
Very yeasty, weedy.
All right.
All right.
Moving on to video games. This has kind of been.
This
like,
is about video games.
Yeah. You might. Be
I thought this was beer. Beer cast.
Beer and wrestling.
The KG beer cast, right?
God, I would love to do a beer and wrestling podcast. We should start. We should start a new site that's beer and wrestling.
Go for it. Have fun over there. I'll stay over here. So the first story, one that's kind of been causing a lot of, I don't know, fuss maybe a little bit of muss
on
the old interwebs. Mass Effect 3 will have multiplayer.
What?
I know, I know. Get ready to rage. Rage your ass off.
And I'm canceling my pre-order.
I'm canceling the pre-order that I didn't have.
Me neither.
You know, I was going to pre-order it, and then now I'm not. So I guess that's what that is. However,
that's quite
it seems,
a reaction.
Yeah. I'm very, very upset, if you couldn't tell. This is my upset voice. You know, it seems pretty tame, though. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's going to be anything that's super integral to, you know, the campaign. It seems like something that you can kind of take or leave. It's going to be like a lot of like co-op stuff. I think Chris compared it to like Horde mode in Gears of War.
From what they said, it's basically Horde mode. You create your own unique character. You go into what is presumably a battle arena, and you have wave after wave of progressively harder enemies shooting at you, and then you shoot them, and then you earn money, and then you take that money back to your Commander Shepard and the campaign, and you buy space things with your space bucks.
I love me some space bucks.
I love Mass Effect so much.
Me too. Me too. I love it.
Anything they add to multiplayer will just be... if it's terrible, I won't touch it. If it's good, I'll play it. It's not going to detract from the overall experience.
Plus, you can, in the multiplayer mode, make a Turian character, which is pretty much the coolest thing ever.
What's the thing that Rex is?
A Krogan. That's a Krogan. You can make one of those, too.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, Turian.
That series is so good, and it's one of my... next to Red Dead Redemption... I would say that Mass Effect 2 is my favorite game this generation.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and anything that Mass Effect 3 does, I'm sure will be great, and I have no problem with them adding multiplayer if that's what they want to do. Who cares?
Yeah, I was kind of nervous about it at first, but then once they kind of more clearly defined what it's going to be, I was fine with it, and I think it's going to... Like you, I love that series. I'm really glad to see that just what they've done with the original, you know, sci-fi universe that they've created, and my only lament is that they couldn't make their original fantasy series, Dragon Age, as good as they made Mass Effect.
That's true.
Yeah, Mass Effect is just absolutely incredible. And
they're also spreading their company three ways at this point with Mass Effect,
my God.
Dragon Age, and Star Wars.
Star Wars, the MMO.
Right. So it's obvious that Dragon Age got the short end of the stick.
Yeah. I never thought about it that way, but that's actually a pretty good point. I mean, they are, you know, kind of a large company, but still, you're right. I think that they are kind of spreading themselves thin.
I think they're actually surprisingly small company.
Well, I mean, they're bigger now than they were when they made, you know,
sure,
Baldur's Gate, obviously, or even the first Mass Effect. I mean, they opened up, you know, a studio in Texas, which I think is still in operation.
That studio was actually Sony Studio, which did Star Wars Galaxies, and they just bought it and converted it to a Star Wars MMO.
Star Wars Galaxies.
Yep.
Oh, God.
So Star Wars Galaxies company pretty much became the Old Republic company.
Really? I did not know that. I'm shocked.
Yep. So BioWare Austin is just the Star Wars Galaxy team.
See, I was under the impression that also had something to do with Pandemic, because BioWare merged with Pandemic
EA,
like a couple of years.
EA bought Pandemic. That had nothing to do with BioWare. Oh, no, you're right. BioWare and Pandemic became one company. Then EA bought them and then shut down Pandemic.
Yes.
That's true. Whatever happened to them?
Pandemic? They got shut down shortly before Saboteur was released. They finished Saboteur and then EA shut them down.
I didn't know Saboteur was a Pandemic game.
Yes, it is. And it's not terrible. I own it. It's okay. I got it for about $8 off of Amazon. And it's for $8. Huh. I'm totally satisfied.
Matt, you put hundreds of hours into the Dragon Age games, and less so in Mass Effect. Like, how do you feel those two franchises, like, compare?
I like Dragon Age a lot. I want to play Mass Effect but have not gotten to them. They're like on my list of games to play. Oh. So I can't really like say that I like Dragon Age better, because I do like Mass Effect and haven't been able to give it a fair like look to be able to compare.
Now that's an interesting perspective, Matt. Have you I mean, now I have to ask, like, have you played the original PC, like Baldur's Gate, at all?
Yes, and actually, I know you guys talked about this a little bit last week, I think. You mentioned that you got the the pack, I think, and you have Planescape Torment, and that you hadn't even played it, and I was like, what? That's one of my favorite games ever. Like, it's really good, so.
Well, what I specifically wanted to talk to you about was, I mean, one of the big, and I think we talked about this a little bit last week, was that, you know, one of the big selling points to me for Dragon Age was the fact that they really hyped it up, like, you know, this is a spiritual successor to Baldur's Gate, and for me, it kind of fell short on that promise, and I just wanted to know, you know, what were your feelings on that?
Did you play a console version, or did you play the PC version?
No, hell no, I played the PC version, come on.
Oh, alright. Well, I guess the PC version, to me, felt like those, but I think it's how you treat it. It is definitely more action-oriented, but I still was pausing it every other second. And I think that you don't have to do that, but that's just how I play that game. And I don't care if I have to or not, it's just like I strategize no matter what.
Oh yeah, I mean, not necessarily from a gameplay perspective, but I mean, I felt like the story was not nearly as good as the Baldur's Gate story. The Baldur's Gate story was just incredible, and I don't know. It seemed like it kind of fell short in a lot of different ways for me. I mean, like Baldur's Gate is kind of the series that made BioWare famous, and you know, to claim that your game is the spiritual successor to it, like, those are some really big shoes to fill, you know? I mean, Baldur's Gate series is revered.
I would argue that Knights of the Old Republic was a title that made BioWare famous.
I agree with you, Rock.
Yeah, I would have to disagree with you, Chris.
I didn't even know that BioWare made Baldur's Gate until you told me that, like, a month ago.
Yeah. Baldur's Gate was really the game that kind of brought them into prominence. It was only the second game that they ever made, and that was the one that really kind of made them, as it were. Knights of the Old Republic was definitely you know, a lot more successful as far as, sure, you know, copies sold and everything. And I mean, how could it not be using the Star Wars license? But you know, Baldur's Gate was definitely the one that kind of brought them to prominence.
It's kind of amazing that a small company like them got the Star Wars license in the first place.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you look at what they did before Knights of the Old Republic, I mean, really all they had under their belt was Shattered Steel, which was their first game, and then, you know, Baldur's Gate 1 and 2, and I want to say that Knights of the Old Republic was the next game. But again, I mean, the Baldur's Gate series was, you know, really kind of put them on the map.
I actually, one of the lesser known games that they developed, well, maybe that's not true, but anyone ever play MDK2?
I did not, but you're right, that one came before KOTOR.
Huh. Did they do MDK1?
No, that was Shiny.
Oh, okay.
I think that's actually being re-released in HD.
I think it already has been, It's only being done through a certain digital distributor. I can't remember what the name of it is.
Yeah.
I have MDK1 for PS1. I never played it.
It's neat.
I bought it at the same sale where I bought Austin Powers Pinball.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
A classic.
Yeah, it looks like Beam Dog are releasing MDK2 HD.
Beam Dog.
That's actually not surprising. Beam Dog is actually started by a guy who used to work at BioWare.
Huh.
Yeah, I think, another downloadable service.
Yeah, but the thing with Beamdog is that when you get something through it, it's like you don't have to install or anything. It's just like everything's all the
cloud.
All the files are in the right place, so you just like press start. There's no client, I don't think.
Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah,
MDK at this point is such a minor download.
Yeah, totally.
It can't be a very big file. Huh.
I'm pretty sure it's less than 500 megs.
So the last games that Pandemic was working on that Wikipedia link I sent you guys.
Great.
They were doing The Dark Knight movie time.
Oh, God.
They were doing Mercenaries 3.
Yeah.
And they were doing the next big thing, which was a racing game featuring David Hasselhoff.
Wow, why did they get shut
down? David Hasselhoff and Mr. T.
Oh, great.
I guess Mercenaries, those were pretty big hits, but what else did they do? Full Spectrum Warrior?
They did Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
They did Destroy All Humans as well. The first one, anyway.
The first two. They did Lord of the Rings, Conquest, Saboteur.
I don't know, kind of, I played the first Mercenaries, and I really liked it. I never played the second one. I know that there's a third one that I've heard is still kind of being worked on. I don't know who is doing it, but it's supposed to be online. I can't really talk much more about it because I don't really know much more, but that's happening. That's a thing. So moving on, next story. Wait, I have.
Actually, just going back to the original point of the whole conversation, we were talking about Mass Effect having multiplayer, and I think it's interesting because I don't really like when games just tack on multiplayer to be like, look, multiplayer, buy our game. But then there's other ones that surprise you, like the Assassin's Creed Brotherhood multiplayer and Uncharted 2 multiplayer. They did a really good job with those, and they were never meant to be multiplayer games, I didn't think. So, I mean, I guess I have hopes that the Mass Effect one will be fun, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, go ahead.
Just like a horde mode. That makes sense, like, to actually, you know, it fits into the way that, at least the way it, the way they're iterating between each game, like, it wouldn't make as much sense with Mass Effect 1, but Mass Effect 2, like, that direction it was going in, it definitely feels like you could play it cooperatively with other people.
Yeah, totally.
Especially with, like the hotkeys, you know, instead of, because you can't pause, obviously.
Also, this game has that Kinect support where you can dictate your teammates around with your voice, so...
Finally, good reason for me buying my Kinect.
Yeah, if you say so.
Well, I wouldn't say good reason. It's a reason.
Well, if you already have it, it's a way to use it.
Well, I mean, it's
besides Sesame Street,
it somewhat justifies the purchase that you made there, just because you can use it now.
It just honestly seems like they're going all out on using any whatever they can to in Mass Effect 3.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I know that they also have the you know, in the conversation, the conversations that arise, you know, you can use Kinect to select your options, which sounds terrible. But we'll see how it goes when it comes out.
Honestly, my Kinect purchase was validated with Dance Central. Yeah,
I still think about buying one for Sesame Street and other games.
Yeah, that would be good for you.
Yeah, totally.
Speaking of Kinect, this was actually at the end of my list, but we're talking about it right now. Kinect, on Giant Bomb, they have a quick look of Michael Phelps push the limit for Kinect, and I highly suggest that everybody look at that, because it is hilariously terrible. Oh my
god. Is it
good? Oh, it's so good. It's Ryan Davis and Vinny Caravella, and it's just glorious. Michael Phelps
has
a game for Kinect. So just everybody check that out.
Pretty much all their quick looks of Kinect and Move games are pretty good.
As in, the games are terrible.
It seems like the worse the games are, the better their quick looks are. Like
their
quick look of Wipeout was just amazing.
Yeah, it's definitely good stuff.
Yeah, I haven't actually watched a quick look in a while, but I really love that site for those.
Yeah, they're consistently good. All right. Well, moving on. This is kind of a quick one, but there's a guy in the industry. His name be Tim Kaine. He worked on the original Fallout, Fallout number one. He is now working at Obsidian with his old buddies, who used to be Black Isle, who made Fallout. And I just thought that was interesting, just because, I don't know, I mean, is adding another guy who used to work there going to help you make not shitty games? Yeah. I don't know. I say no.
Yeah, no.
I don't think Obsidian tries to make shitty games.
No, of course they don't try. They don't try to make bad games.
I think they just put so much emphasis on a good story that they forget to make a game around it.
They forget, like, is this fun and does it work?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I mean, I really wanted to give Obsidian, you know, an honest try, because I have liked a lot of games that those people have worked on. I mean, Tim Kaine used to work at Troika Games after he left Interplay, and I mean, they made Temple of Elemental Evil, they made Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines, which I never played, they made Arcanum, which was this amazing, like, steampunk RPG. Like, that shit was good, and then they got shut down. But Obsidian, just for the life of me, they seem to not be able to get it together. It's really bizarre that this formerly very talented studio can't make a good game anymore.
I'm on their site right now and looking at their games list, and looks like a lot of the games that they've made recently have been like sequels to successful games. That's got to be hard to like try to do a follow-up to a game that's really good and really popular and try to live up to it too, you know? So maybe that's part of it, but I don't know.
Well, I think that's their thing, is that they could just get handed sequels and then they kind of poop them out.
Yeah, I mean, even when they're trying to make, you know, enhancements. I mean, one really great example is, BioWare did Neverwinter Nights, Obsidian did Neverwinter Nights 2, and it had a vastly improved graphics engine. They did a lot of stuff to try to improve gameplay and kind of streamline some of the rules and stuff, and that game is terrible. That game is fucking awful. I've given that game, like, 5 honest tries, and it is so friggin' bad. It's so bad. And, I mean, that seems to be pretty
like
much...
the glove. Or the power glove.
Like the yes, exactly. It just it seems to be the story of Obsidian, is like, we made a sequel to a game that you really liked, but we didn't do it as good as the game that you liked. I mean, KOTOR 2, same thing, you know. Fallout New Vegas, same thing. And then the one, you know, original IP that they put out, Alpha Protocol, kinda bombed.
Yeah, a little bit dead on arrival.
It was $2 on Steam.
Whoa.
Yeah, I remember when that was like
$2.
It was last weekend.
Awesome.
I just remember when that game was announced and like reading previews and stuff. I was like, that sounds interesting. And then I just never heard anything again.
Yeah. I was watching it for a while and I was really excited about it. And I was like, well, you know, maybe Obsidian will, you know, get it right this time. And as it turns out, they did not. So, as it is, I will probably continue avoiding Obsidian games.
Can't fault you there.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Earlier this week, EA released a new trailer for Battlefield 3. You know, they're talking about their pillars of gameplay, and this one is a trailer for the destruction engine in the game, and it's you know, a minute-long video, and it basically just showcases some of the pretty neat destruction effects that they have in the game. And, you know, I mentioned it a little bit earlier before we started recording, but, like, that every piece of promotional video that they release just gets me so pumped up. Like, it's crazy how well that stuff works on me. Like, I realize what it is, like, as it's happening to me. I'm like, no, this is just promotional stuff, like, but, and that stuff normally doesn't work on me, but I'll be damned, like, this shit is working on me really hard.
Yeah. It was even back at, when I went to PAX East, which I didn't cross paths with you guys, but I waited in line for like an hour and a half at the Battlefield 3, like, booth, just to see some guy play through probably like a completely scripted couple sequences. And I was hooked back then.
Yeah, you know what's funny is, like, at that point when that was happening, I was, like, Battlefield 3 was kind of so far away that I was not really, like, I was not trying to get excited about it. Like, I didn't even bother checking out the line because I was like, ah, it'll come out later. And now I'm like, oh my god, like, I can't, you know, I can't get enough of this shit. It's insane.
Lots of stuff blowing up.
Yeah.
I've actually been excited about it since way back when. Unfortunately, I have been trying the beta on my PC, and it is not friendly to my PC, so I don't know if I'm going to end up getting it for a console or just passing altogether, because I would prefer to play it on PC.
As would I.
As you should, but that's okay. If it doesn't run, I mean, there's not much you can do. Building a whole new PC is way too expensive.
My god, is it ever.
Yeah, tax return next year doesn't come soon enough.
Pretty much. It was almost a year ago I got the, what was it, like the GTX 570 or something? I hope that lasts for a few more years, because that thing was pretty damn expensive.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Well, I mean, you know, the card that I have, I've had that for like 2 years now, and, you know, it's held up really well. Really, the only game that's given it a lot of trouble has been, you know, Battlefield 3, and even then, you know, I think once the final version of the game is released, you know, it'll probably be okay.
I think it's going to have a pretty rough launch no matter what. I mean, just, I mean, the way those things work, and it's a dice game. But in the end, it's going to be totally worth, you know, all the trouble that it takes to get to play.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, definitely. All right, moving on. Has anybody seen the live-action Dragon Age thing that they've got going on?
I've only heard of it. It has what's her name?
Felicia Day.
That's the one. Mm-hmm. I've heard of it, but I haven't watched it yet, so I'm not sure.
It's really stupid. It's really, really bad.
I already have, like, no interest in the Dragon Age and, like, no investment in it, and I kind of hate Felicia Day.
You know,
no reason, just kind of do.
Thank you.
Chris said the same thing, and I have heard her name before, but I didn't really know why she was famous, and, you know, Chris kind of filled me in a little bit earlier, and I understand, you know, like, cute nerdy girls are hard to come by, but you know, this fucking Dragon Age Redemption thing is terrible. It's so bad.
It's just like, it's like this pedestal that any cute girl who shows any sort of knowledge about nerdy things gets thrown up onto, where they're instantly worshipped.
Yeah. She's like a female Ginger Will Wheaton.
Yeah, she's a cute girl, and, you know, she likes video games, and that's cool, but, god, just, what the fuck? I mean, she's not...
Maybe tone it down a little.
Yeah, I mean, whatever, good for her. She's getting a career, but there's no need for the worship.
I guess I've watched The Guild, and I really liked Dr. Horrible, but it wasn't because she was in it, and I just don't really have too much, like, oh my god, I have to go watch this right now about this Dragon Age thing, so probably take it or leave it, I guess.
Yeah, I liked Dr. Horrible. That was good, and she was good in that, but other than that, I tried watching some of The Guild, and it just did not grab me. But, and was she like a Buffy actor or actress or something?
Yeah, she wasn't like a main character or anything, from what I can tell. I never watched Buffy, so I can't exactly speak to it directly, but I have looked a little bit, and I guess she was like a secondary character, but yeah, I don't know. I guess I kind of like The Guild because I played WoW for so long, but even then, it's like, I haven't watched it. I know there's a new season of that ongoing right now, and I haven't watched a single episode of it. It's not one of those things that I feel like I have to go watch it the day it's released, so... Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm not a nerd like some other people are.
I've never watched a single episode of Buffy.
I've never watched that show either.
I'm totally okay with that too.
Yeah, that's if even if you, I mean, that's okay. You don't like it, you don't watch anymore. But if you do like it, there's a lot of episodes to catch up on. Why even bother? Too much other good stuff to like try to watch.
There's episodes, there's spinoffs, there's movies. It's just, it's all too much. It's all this Joss Whedon stuff that everybody's all into, and I just never understood any of it.
Yeah, I think Buffy's one of those shows that, like, if somebody wanted to force me to watch it, I don't think I would be against it, but I'm not rushing out to watch it either.
There's what I'd really like to go into right now is the Battlefield contest.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's a thing that we had. Just some background. We started a Battlefield 3 contest a couple of weeks ago where we asked listeners to join the site. And in the comments section for KGB Radio Episode 2, to just share your most crazy, over-the-top, badass Battlefield moment. And those submissions would be judged by us, and the winner would receive a copy of Battlefield 3 for the system of their choosing. On us.
Very sweet deal.
Yes, yeah, very sweet deal. There was... I don't know if I was unclear. I thought I was pretty clear. Maybe you guys can...
You were very clear.
I thought I was pretty clear that you had to actually join the page. And the reasons for that were, you know, pretty concrete in that, and I've mentioned this before, I can't get hold of you. Like, if you just have, like, a Blogger account or, like, a Google account, you know, the website doesn't show me your email address or anything like that. So I legitimately have no way of getting hold of you if you win. And so there were, you know, a few really, really awesome submissions in the contest. However, because those people didn't, you know, follow the contest rules, you know, I can't get hold of you to tell you that you've won. For example, I'm going to read the submission of the guy who would have won had he registered with the website. So, you know, that guy can kick himself if he likes.
What a cocksucker.
His his name is just Dan, and he says,
"You almost got a free game, you fuck ass.
You almost got a free game. I wanted so badly to give you a free game." Here's the submission. What would have been the winning submission? "My best Battlefield moment was actually a year long. A few months after launch, I finally picked up Battlefield 2. I had been a huge fan of 1942 and Vietnam, and I always admired the pilots in those games, but knew that wasn't the place for me. When I stepped into Battlefield 2, it was like night and day. Where in Vietnam, jet fighter pilots were impressive. In Battlefield 3, they were kings." I think he means Battlefield 2. "A good pilot was an asset. A great pilot was a man to fear. One night, I was playing late, and the server I was playing on had a vent." I guess he means Ventrilo. "I hopped on, and one of the server aces was on vent too. We had a pretty lengthy discussion that was admittedly a little gushy, and he suggested I buy a stick and give it a shot. So I went out and mowed lawns for weeks and bought a Logitech stick for $80, which was a pretty major investment for me at the time. I hop on vent a while later and talk to the ace again and update him on my stick status. He offers to train me. This is an incredible moment. For the first few months, I play late at night with Ace Hotwire, and I learned to fly well. I never got as good as him, but ever since that time in my life, I have dedicated myself to being a Battlefield pilot." That guy, Dan, if you're listening, you would have won if you had followed the fucking contest rules. I'm sorry to get... like, I really don't mean to get mad, but I tried to make it so fucking easy to give you a free fucking game. There were other submissions, too. I'm not going to read all of them, but there were other submissions, too, that were pretty good. Cartana, for example. "Craziest moment was when I played Battlefield 1942 for 6 hours straight and got in my car to pick up my girlfriend from work. Every red light, I thought, shit, I can't stay here. Someone will come up with a bazooka and shoot me in my ass. My brain was still in full Battlefield mode. Awesome story. Awesome story. Wouldn't have won compared to Dan, but still a great story, and you didn't join the site, so shit on your entry." Like, I
already mentioned. Oh, go ahead.
I like I was talking to Chris about it, and I was mildly annoyed, and I was trying to not get mad, but like I could not have made it easier for you for us to give you a game. Like I'm trying so hard to just give you a fucking game, and you had to spend 15 seconds to join our fucking page.
There's some technical difficulties, and we'll change it from now on.
There are some technical difficulties, and we'll have to figure something else out.
I mentioned earlier that I wanted to, that I was thinking about, you know, entering a submission before I was actually part of the blog. But I remember when Battlefield 2 first came out, and like I did get pretty good at flying, but the whole time I was playing with a mouse and keyboard, and it'd be funny because I'd be like, I'm doing pretty good, and then you'd see the guys that actually have joysticks, and yeah, they're a lot better just based on their hardware.
Yeah, that was how you could always, you know, tell who was, like, really serious about flying, was like, oh, no, this guy has a flight stick. Yeah, I mean, I have a really nice one that I've been halfway considering hooking up, but I may not, I don't know. But anyway, so we, of the entries that we had, there are technically only two valid entries, which is a shame. Out of about 7 or 8 entries, there are two.
So you got a 50-50 shot winning a free copy of a $60 game.
Exactly. The two valid entries came to us from user Chevelle and from user Jaybird. And let's see, Chevelle's story. Not bad. He says, lot of good memories with Bad Company 2. Pat and I personally played Bad Company 2, and it's pretty fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He says, the one that sticks out to me is when I was playing Conquest, driving a Humvee to an enemy point, got out and put a load of C4 on it, drove it to the point, got out and blew it up, killed all of them, and took the point. And he just says, you know, haha, it's the crazy things you can do that make Battlefield great. Good luck to everyone. Nice. Very nice. However, we talked about it and we voted on it, and the winner has to be Jaybird. His story I thought was just a little bit cooler. He says, the last Battlefield game I played was Battlefield 2 Modern Combat for the Xbox 360. It's been a very long time since I played it, so I can't really remember that much about it. One of the few memories I do still have is sticking some C4 on an enemy chopper just as it was about to take off with his teammates and detonating it while the chopper is in midair. The helicopter then spun out of control and landed on top of another player in a Humvee on the enemy team, killing all of them in the explosion. Pretty awesome. Pretty friggin' awesome.
Yeah.
So, user Jaybird, for successfully following the rules, and, I don't want to say winning by default, but kind of winning by default, you have successfully won a copy of Battlefield 3. I'll be PMing you within the next couple
Congrats.
Of days. Congratulations. Seriously. Awesome. I'm glad that you guys took the time to, to follow the fucking rules and, submit something. So I'll be PMing you in a couple of days to find out which, which platform you want the game for. So congratulations to Jaybird. Excellent. Excellent.
Go. Go.
Okay. So, wow. moving on.
Painful transition.
We very, very, very excruciatingly painful transition. guys, we have some user mail.
What?
We have user mail.
Wow.
To anybody listening, you can send questions to knowngriefers@gmail.com. And we will read them on the show, possibly. This one was so good that I decided to use it for our segment that I like to call Burning Questions for Answer. So hot. So fucking hot. Oh, God.
Should probably get that checked.
Yeah. This week's question comes to us from knowngriefers.com fucking super user AG Turbo. Love you, Turbo.
What up?
Hey. His question, I'm modifying it slightly because it's very specific. His question was, what is a video game series that you enjoyed at least three games, but as a whole, you don't care for the series? And he goes on to talk about Need for Speed.
Ouch.
So I'm going to change that a little bit and just say, what is a video game series that you enjoyed a game from, but you don't care for the whole series? I feel like that's a little bit easier. Three is a little bit specific. I'm not going to go first. Chris, what is a video game series that you have played, you know, a game from, but you, in general, don't really care for the entire series?
In the immortal words of Zach Hees, who is also dead, how dare you put me on the spot?
Would you like me to come back to you?
No, I can. Hold on one second. I mean, think something.
I can go first because I've been thinking about this all week. I'll go first. Fuck it.
Okay, go ahead.
Mine is Castlevania Lament of Innocence. That is the very first Castlevania game I ever played, and I really liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun. The 2D side-scroller ones never really caught my attention. I was always aware of them, but I never really, you know, wanted to play them. And Lament of Innocence just grabbed me, and I really, really fucking enjoyed that game. That game was awesome, and I've never played a Castlevania game since. I really want to go back and play Lament of Innocence, and I might someday when I get another PS2. But that's mine. Castlevania Lament of Innocence. Chris, do you have anything to go on? All right, Matt, how about you?
I have a few game series where they didn't really change much from the original game to sequels, and I don't know, like, if you don't evolve when sequels come out, it makes it kind of hard to, like, enjoy them again. Something like the Professor Layton games where, yeah, the first one was awesome, but then the second one was like, oh, look, more puzzles, we're doing the same thing again. And, like, the Pokemon games where, like, okay, the first one was good, and I enjoyed it, and then you made the same game again, and now there's different Pokemon. Awesome. So I guess those ones are kind of up my alley.
Okay. All right. Chris, what do you got?
So I just quickly ran to my game shelf while
Very
you
nice.
And Matt were talking, and I think I can say Fable.
Oh, wow. Which game in the series did you play?
I have Fable 1, 2, and 3. I've only played Fable 2.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I loved it. I love Fable 2. I bought it when I first got my 360. Thought it was great. Put, like, probably 40, 50 hours into it. Bought Fable 3 when it first came out. Got the limited collector's edition, which is still in its wrapping. Never
Very
opened
nice.
It.
Nice.
Bought Fable 1. On eBay for like a dollar, and I could never be bothered to put the other two into my system.
That's interesting because, like, I've played all three from beginning to end and never really done anything beyond just the story from beginning to end, and that's it. I think that the original was my favorite, actually. I actually played about halfway through a second playthrough, and the other ones I really never touched again after I beat the game.
Huh. I put the first one in and, like, saw the title screen, and I downloaded the DLC before all the Xbox One DLC went offline forever, and that was the most I've ever played of that game.
I suppose it could also be the fact that I played it when it came out, before the second one came out, so that might have something to do with it.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I love the second game. I thought it was great. And I've heard the third game, you know, for all the faults it has, is, you know, very similar to the second game. And the only reason I haven't opened it is because it is that collector's edition, and I've thought about just selling it on eBay.
One nice thing about the Fable games, in my opinion, is that they're RPGs, and you can definitely get invested in them, but they aren't 100 hours. So you can, like, pick them up, play them for 10, 15, maybe 20 hours, and be done with them. You don't have to, like, invest your whole life for 2 months.
Yeah, totally. That's what I loved about Fable 2, is that it gave you a whole story, gave you a whole super big world, and it still, you know, you never felt like you were grinding.
Yeah, I only ever played the first Fable, and, I don't know. I mean, it was okay, but it never really inspired me to, look into the series anymore. I don't know. It just never really grabbed me, I guess.
I played the first one. I don't know if I... Yeah, I think I did actually beat the first one. But then I bought the second one when that came out. And I played a little bit of it. And a few years had passed by. And I think it was last year, for some reason, on the Xbox.com. You know, because with the way they have that site set up now, you can, buy games and queue them up to download the next time your Xbox is turned on. And for some reason, Fable 2, the downloadable version, was free for an hour. And Whoa. Of course, the internet blows up when that happens. So I got in, click, 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 and I managed to get a copy. So I was able to sell my physical copy of Fable 2, which I never really played much, and now I have a permanent copy associated with my account. It's pretty cool.
Neat.
But I still haven't, gotten back to that game.
So is that your answer for the burning question?
Not at all.
What is your answer?
Well, what's up, Matt?
Oh, I was just going to say Fable 3 was kind of funny because I actually played that game and got to the point just before where all I had to do to finish the game was push a button, and then I stopped playing it for about 6 months, and then I went back and pushed the button.
Was it worth it?
Wow.
No.
Yeah, it seems like it would be kind of anticlimactic at that point.
Well, there was a lot of, bonus stuff that I was planning to do that I was like, yeah, no, I'm just going to beat the game now.
The collector's edition lets you change the breed of your dog.
Oh, boy. That's
it's
a valuable addition.
I paid $20 for it.
You can't afford not to have that.
I'm losing money by not playing this game.
Exactly. Exactly.
I remember, just all the hype building up to Fable, specifically Fable 2. And Peter Molyneux was just hyping up all these really cool, co-op, what they were implementing, to play cooperatively with other people online. And it looked so cool, and there were, videos of it and everything. And I think all that got scaled back, of course, by the time it was released.
Peter Molyneux is, the king of over-promising what a game can do. I mean, when the original Fable was before that game released, when it was called Project Ego, he was talking about how it would be the greatest RPG of all time. Those are his words, the greatest RPG of all time. You can plant an apple seed and it will grow into a tree over the course of the game, and you can come back and pick apples from the tree that you grew. No, you can't. That's not a thing. You can't do that. He is the master of overpromising what his games are capable of.
Even goes back to what was that? Black and White? I don't know if you ever remember when that was coming out. And it was a similar thing where it seemed like this amazing god game, but it kind of ended up not being so much.
I would pay almost $100 for BC.
If that game, was out.
And it's kind of funny because
but it looks so good.
Other companies make these promises and they keep developing the game until they, can deliver on them. And then, his games are just look, we're gonna have an island with dragons and this and that, and it's gonna be awesome. And then, oh nope, we're releasing it now. Sorry.
He tries hard.
It never ends up being what he says it will be. And I don't know if he's just being very aspirational and just kind of it kind of gets away from him, or if he just isn't really aware, or I don't know what's going on in Peter Molyneux's head, obviously, but it's interesting to me that pretty much every game that that Lionhead releases, he vastly overpromises what the game is capable of.
He's British.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I don't really know what that has to do with anything. Are you saying that British are prone to exaggeration?
What?
Blimey. Be careful. Well,
it's good to be here.
Hey,
in Canada.
Yeah. Mook? I thought you were doing an impersonation of an English guy.
They're all the same.
Oh, hey, I'm walking here.
What are you doing?
Guy,
from fucking Britain, you mook.
Oh, Liverpool, hey. Yeah, that's like Bristol or something. That's I know nothing. I think that was a pretty good Manchester accent that Chris was pulling off there.
Hey.
Or Birmingham, I can't tell. They're pretty similar.
I hope we get some fucking spaghetti up in here. Hey, give me some fucking pizza, you monkey.
I don't know. What do English people eat? Fish and chips.
Whatever.
Head cheese. Well,
is that what they eat? Jesus.
That might be like Scotland or something.
I don't. Whoa, careful about Scotland.
Haggis?
Speaking of Scotland,
do we have Scottish listeners?
Speaking of Scotland, well, we might have one. We're just going to segue right into stuff that's going up on the site soon.
Oh, wait. I didn't answer the question. Sorry.
Oh, goddamn. Okay.
All of this is getting edited.
Jesus Christ, this is going to be a nightmare.
No, it's not bad.
It's not bad because you're not going to spend 4 hours editing it, Pat.
Chill out.
Give yourself a break, Pat.
Yes, silence.
I had the most time to think about something, but it was kind of hard to. And there's a caveat, whatever. But I'd say Modern Warfare, because I had a lot of fun playing Modern Warfare when that came out. But I don't really like any of the other Call of Duty games. But sometimes I will play Call of Duty 2 online with other people. So.
Okay.
I have an alternate answer as well, myself. Every MMO that has ever had a sequel. Like, EverQuest 2, Final Fantasy 14, etc. I don't want to play those. Hopefully Guild Wars 2, better.
They've been making that for a long time. I think there's some potential with that one.
Yeah, from what I've read, it's trying to do some things different, so hopefully they succeed at that.
It is just about the only MMO that seriously draws my attention, mostly because of the things that they're trying to do differently, in MMOs. Whether or not they'll actually accomplish that remains to be seen, but it seems like they're at least trying to kind of shake it up a little bit. So. Whether or not I'll actually play it, I don't know. MMOs just to me are too much of a time sink to really be bothered, but it's at least very interesting.
I have to say, after investing an awful lot of time in MMOs and other games, I'm trying to focus on games that have an end. Like sports games and MMOs I'm trying to avoid those as much as I can, because I like to play games that they're like, look, the story ended. Congratulations.
Yeah, you get to relearn what it feels like to beat a game. Well, I think we're going to move on to some of the editorial stuff that we've got going up on the site. Chris, do you have anything going up on the site soon?
This week will be the celebrated return of Oh God Why.
Oh, hell yes.
Known Griefer's inaugural feature. And I will be playing Sega CD Classic Sewer Shark.
Oh my god, I've been waiting for this for so long.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I really have been anticipating this for, like, months now.
Yeah, I took a break with Oh God Why because I was kind of running dry on the sarcasm front, but took a month off, and we'll probably do every maybe 3 or 4 week cycles of Oh God Why from now on.
I imagine it's pretty taxing.
It hurts a lot.
I could tell in the last one that you did, like, it was really bad. Like, I could tell that it was hurting you to do this.
I get very limited gaming time as it is with a child, and spending 4 to 6 hours with just absolute shit makes you want to never play video games again.
Totally. I actually never had a Sega CD. The only amazing Sega Genesis peripheral I ever had was the 32X.
Yeah, totally, me too.
So, should be interesting for me to read through that, too.
I never had a Sega CD, but I picked this up at a Salvation Army. Actually, the disc for Sewer Shark was in a box for Slam City with Scottie Pippen.
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was telling Chris about this a little while ago. I had seen in one of the cities where I grew up, there was a Blockbuster Video, like many cities, I'm sure. And we used to go there pretty frequently, and they always had a Sega CD set up with a demo of Sewer Shark. And, like, I'd always see it, and I was always enthralled by it. Because, like, growing up, I didn't really have a lot of video games when I was a kid. And, you know, so, like, any time there was video games, I was you know, all over it. And so I'd always see this Sewer Shark demo, but it was never playable. It was just like a video that would kind of, like, it would loop, like, 60 seconds of video and then just go to static and then start over again. And I always wanted to play it. So I've been really, really anticipating, you know, seeing Chris's Oh God, Why about this. Like, I really want to play this game.
Now, I have to say I'm not familiar with the game, and I'm probably not the only one, so what's it about?
Chris?
I have a vague idea.
We will post a video in the
article. Yeah, I think it's like,
it's hard to describe.
It's like a futuristic kind of thing where you're...
Seems like a rail shooter.
It's a rail shooter with full motion video, and... It's like kind of futuristic, and you're basically it's like shooting sewer sharks, I guess, literally. And you have a really shitty like pilot.
You're guided by a catfish.
God, everything about this game seems terrible.
Bogey Baron 9.
Didn't every Sega CD game have full motion video?
Yep. Pretty much. That's pretty much it.
Isn't there like a make the video with Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch?
There were actually three games in that
Music
series.
Factory?
There was CNC Music Factory and Crisscross.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that was that was a thing. Also, up on the page right now, we have Chris's top five superhero games, which is really good. That is a great, great article. I especially like the intro image that he got of just this, you know, very overweight guy in a Batman costume at Comic-Con. Hilarious.
I kind of feel bad because I just, you know, I want to do a proprietary kind of top five banner for us, and I couldn't whip it up in Photoshop in time to get this article up, so I searched for fat superhero in Google Images, and that's what I found.
That's awesome. Good job. It worked. Yeah. It worked very well. I thought it was perfect.
And actually, the sign above his head says anime. And he's got
perfect.
Like, shopping bags in his hand. So
it's really great. I don't know if you wanted to talk about any specific entries there, Chris. Or if anybody else wanted to mention any.
I own all these games in the top five list because I'm kind of a superhero fan. And I don't know, like, I think the most interesting thing was actually in the comments what you put is that you would add Captain America and the Avengers to it.
Hell yeah.
Which is terrible.
Keep in mind, the last time I played that game, I think I was about 9. And I was really, really excited about it. But, I mean, I thought that your list in general was pretty good. I mean, like, I've only played a few of these games. Like, obviously, I've played Batman Arkham Asylum. Loved it. But I never played Wolverine. I haven't played the X-Men arcade game since, I don't know, Super Nintendo was new. And, I mean, I loved it. And I would love to play the HD version on Xbox. But, you know, I thought that was great. I never played Marvel Ultimate Alliance. I never played Ultimate Spider-Man. So, I've played very few of these games. But, you know, the ones that I have played, I absolutely loved. I thought this was a fantastic article.
Yeah, mostly it was inspired by me looking forward to Arkham City. And I wanted to just throw things out there for people who are into superhero games. And Ultimate Spider-Man is a great game. It's on PS2 and all that generation. And it looks just like the comics. It's still great to this day. The gameplay is fantastic. And the voice acting is really good. And when I said I didn't buy any games from 2005 to 2007, that is a true story. I turned 21 in 2005, and I just spent the next 3 years getting as drunk as possible with all my money. So I kind of set out video games for 2 to 3 years.
Speaking to superhero video games, though, has anybody tried the X-Men Destiny that just came out? That one seems really interesting to me, and I want to play it, but have not read too much about it since it came out.
It seems interesting in the most horrible way.
I heard it is not very good at all. Silicon Knights for the win.
They try hard.
Yeah. So rental, gotcha.
Maybe. Yeah.
It's like from what I saw, it's getting like, you know, 5s and 6s out of 10.
It's in a red box near you, so.
I rented Duke Nukem Forever, so I can rent X-Men Destiny.
So you are the perfect audience.
Go for it.
When I think of like superhero games, I mean, obviously Batman Arkham Asylum comes to mind, but
perfect.
I'm also thinking back to like I think it was Ultimate Carnage, and
Maximum Carnage.
Maximum Carnage. Thank you.
Was that the one on Sega?
Yeah. And then, like, the Genesis X-Men game. I used to love playing that.
Yep.
Wasn't that Carnage game, like, the most ridiculously hard game ever?
It was kind of hard, but the thing that was what drew you to it was that the cartridge was red. And it was, like, one of the only colored Sega Genesis cartridges there was.
It was a pretty decent beat-em-up, though, I think. And
yeah, it was good. Just it had like, characters in it.
There's, like, there was a Punisher one for SNES, I think.
Yep.
All like beat 'em ups are pretty great.
That's pretty much what superhero games were in the 16-bit generation, were just side-scrolling beat 'em ups because they couldn't really do much.
And then Superman 64.
And then Superman 64. Which is terrible. Like, I played it on ROMs, and it's legitimately the worst thing ever.
I played it on N64, and it was still terrible. I have to say though that like the Batman Arkham Asylum, like, just Jesus Christ, like, you could not do a more perfect superhero game. You know what I mean? Like just every mechanic in that game perfectly encapsulates what it is to be Batman in every way. It's magical. I'm really excited for Arkham City.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I actually like your list a lot. It's just I might move the X-Men arcade game up only because it's kind of like one of those nostalgic games for me, you know? Like, I just remember pumping quarters into that in the arcade, so...
Yeah, oh, totally. That's the thing is that when I got... I actually got this game on XBLA for free from GamesRadar, and the fact that you can beat it in under 25 minutes is almost earth-shattering when you're not pumping quarters into it.
Well, I heard that was like one of the biggest kind of knocks against the game was they're like, when you don't have to constantly feed it quarters, the allure and the kind of like intensity is kind of lost because you could just continue as many times as you want and it's not that long.
Yeah, totally. It's still worth it though. If you can get six people playing the game, it's still fun.
Except someone has to play as Jubilee. Is that Jubilee?
Yep.
Yeah, lame. She sucks. A stupid character.
Yeah, women.
That's dumb. She should be in the kitchen.
Wow. I did this out.
Oh, no. Oh, boy. Also, going up on the site, I had an interview that I did. There's this guy on YouTube. His name's The Carrot, or Killer Carrot. He's a pretty well-known griefer. He's got about almost 19,000 followers on his YouTube channel, and he mostly does Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 2, and Black Ops, and he does these hilarious griefing videos. He's just a genius when it comes to griefing, and he was cool enough to do an interview with us, so that should be going up probably tomorrow, and I would highly recommend everybody check that out.
This might be a good time to relay the story of how the website got its name.
Oh, yeah, that's actually a pretty good idea. I don't know, your story might be different from mine, but the way it started was, TJ, who was supposed to be on tonight but had some other stuff come up, somebody's having a stupid baby or something, you know, we met through Left 4 Dead, and we used to, you know, play a lot of Left 4 Dead together, and, you know, Chris and I played Left 4 Dead together as well. I think I bought that for you for Christmas or something, didn't I?
I think it was my birthday, but yeah, it was something like that.
Yeah, it was a gift, either way. And I don't remember exactly when it clicked that, like, you know, playing in versus mode, like, wow, we really don't want to play as survivors. How about we just kind of just rush with reckless abandon until they kill us just so we can play infected sooner? And
like, we just run forward and scream into our mics so loud that they clip the whole time.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and you know, it just kind of became a thing, and that basically just became what we did. Was just, you know, it doesn't really matter when you play as survivors, just die so that you can play infected, because that's a hell of a lot more fun in Left 4 Dead, for us anyway. And known griefers became a thing. We joined a game, and I don't even remember exactly who all was there, but we joined a game, and like people like started encouraging other people on the opposing team to leave the game. And when we were trying to figure out why, they were like, oh, well, you know, these guys, they're known griefers. And we were like, holy shit, seriously? Yeah, it was pretty awesome, actually. And it just kind of became a thing. We were known griefers. I never expected that.
That's your history lesson for today.
There you go. That's where that comes from. So, you know, I thought it would be kind of cool to get an interview with, you know, another very well-known griefer, Killer Carrot. And when the video goes up tomorrow, I've got a video from his YouTube channel embedded on the site, and I've got a link up to his YouTube channel, and I highly recommend everybody check it out. It's really, really funny stuff.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I didn't know about this guy, and I read the draft of the interview that Rock put up the other night, and it's real good. And this guy's videos are super funny.
Yeah, so hopefully there will be, you know, more stuff like that on the way later on. Also, Humor Tumor, you know, even though he's sadly no longer with us. So yeah.
For now.
For now, he'll probably be back some other time. He put up a review for the Resident Evil 4 HD remake, and that shit is really good. Not the game. I mean, the write-up itself is awesome. I mean, the game itself is probably pretty.
The game's supposed to be good. He says it's good.
Yeah, he says it's really awesome. I haven't played Resident Evil 4 since PS2, and I really
I've never played it.
It was my favorite Resident Evil game of all of them. And yeah, the write-up is really great, and he's currently working on in between haunting those who wronged him in life. Right. He is working on a gigantic retrospective of the entire Resident Evil series. This is a man who loved Capcom while he was alive.
He loved it so much.
So much.
He was so young. Oh, God.
we're actually talking to Keiji Inafune right now to see if he can, you know, come and sing Dust in the Wind on Humor Tumor's grave.
Over our Ouija board.
Yes. Yeah. It's basically like a telephone line into the afterlife.
Oh, GamePro isn't a thing anymore, I guess.
GamePro is canceled.
Yeah. They're doing only special issues. But, yeah, I mean, from the early 90s up until whenever I moved out of the, you know, school district I was in, we had GamePro and Nintendo Power every month. And it was the way to encourage the kids to read and then, you know, not feel like they were learning, I guess. I don't know. Whatever.
It's definitely, like, kind of the trend. I mean, print media is definitely not the thing anymore. I know you guys are going to laugh at me, but I had a subscription to the World of Warcraft magazine because they gave me a plush for it. But they are not printing that anymore. So
I'm surprised.
Friend of the show, Dan Amrick.
I am shocked and amazed. Yeah, he did. He was the editor in chief over there for a little while before he went to Activision.
He was telling me the first issue of that magazine goes for like $75 on eBay.
Damn. Yep. Thank you for the thanks again for the interview, Dan. Find Dan
oneofswords.com. Van Halen Guitar Hero.
We really hope to see him again at PAX East.
Where he will give us more Guitar Hero games.
Yeah. I'm really hoping that I can get Guitar Hero Aerosmith this time.
Oof.
Yes.
Really? $75? Because I am currently holding the first volume in my hand.
You should sell that.
Put it on eBay.
Just get rid of that. Expunge it from
buy Costume Quest.
Costume Quest. Available now on Steam. Check it out.
I actually
support friend of the show, Tim Schafer.
I own Custom Quest on Xbox Live Arcade and have yet to even launch the game.
Holy shit. Well, at least you bought it. At least Tim has your money. Friend of the show, Tim Schafer.
God, I love that guy so much.
There's a good picture of friend of the show, Tim Schafer, with friend of the show, D. Bethel.
And host of the show, Rock.
Yeah, that's true.
Just throwing that out there.
No, you...
You weren't really that familiar with Tim Schafer at the time?
No. At the time, Chris pointed him out to me while we were at PAX East, and he said,
"Him so bad."
Yeah, he bothered
like,
the shit.
First, what, into
tell,
the show.
Tell your story first, and then I'll tell mine because yours is pretty good too. Keep in mind,
last
we
year,
had just gotten into the show
floor.
We
just walked in. It was me, Zach, and Rock, and we all rode in the shuttle together. And Zach forgot to buy a ticket to get into the show because he's a dumbass. So he decided that he was just going to walk around Boston and, you know, be a tourist and whatever.
Which lasted about an hour.
Yeah, sure. So me and Rock walk in and, you know, we get our badges and we walk in and, you know, we're going into the show floor, going to have a good time, check out the games. And I see Tim Schafer at a lunch table with another dude. And I'm like, wow, it's Tim Schafer. I might never see him again. I should go and bother him. So I totally like interrupted whatever conversation he was having with this asshole and was like, Tim Schafer, you know, I like shook his hand, was like, thank you for, you know, the games you've made, and then walked away like super awkwardly.
I probably would do the same thing. Well, so much of my like early PC gaming was with his games.
Me too. But what made it worse was that we totally ran into Tim Schafer again, like 4 hours later, and we could have had just a whole conversation with him.
What made it slightly better was that, you know, at that point, I had never played a single Tim Schafer game. Obviously, I knew who Tim Schafer was, and I knew a lot of his games, but I had never played one. So he's like, yeah, I didn't even know what he looked like. So he's like, oh, there's Tim Schafer. I'm like, where? I don't know who. And so I'm just like standing over, like off to the side, awkwardly waiting for him to be finished bothering Tim Schafer. So fast forward a few hours, and we are over at the Microsoft area, and I'm waiting in line to play Homefront, which was a miserable experience. I was standing behind some douchebag with an Indiana Jones hat.
You're behind the worst kid ever.
Oh, God.
To play Homefront.
It's terrible.
I just got done bothering Jeff Gerstmann, and now I'm playing Fire Pro Wrestling against a Japanese guy who doesn't speak English.
It was awesome. So, and the whole time, Tim Schafer is like 15 feet away from the both of us, just, you know, being surrounded by people and being... I remember there was this one asshole who was probably from nowhere, just like politely waiting to interview him, and I'm like, dude, you gotta be more assertive, you gotta get in there. And he had his stupid fucking notepad. That'll probably be us next year. And
you gotta get in that Schafer.
Seriously. So he's like, Chris is kind of freaking out, like, man, Tim Schafer's right over there. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, I don't know this guy. I've never played a game of his. I don't, you know, like you could tell me that Miyamoto's over there and I would care the same amount, which is zero. And, cause I hate Nintendo, right? That's my thing, right? I hate Nintendo. Stupid Nintendo. Anyway, Zach's not here. Joking. Anyway.
All right.
So we're in line and, you know, finally when I get done playing stupid fucking miserable disaster Homefront, I'm like, all the while I'm in line, I'm like, I have an idea for a picture with Tim Schafer. Like, I have an idea for this. So I'm like, Chris, take a picture of me with Tim Schafer. So I go over and I'm like, you know, hey, you know, Tim Schafer, how's it going? My name's Rock. You know, it's really nice to meet you. I was wondering, would you mind taking a picture with me? We both have curly hair, and I just think we'd look great in a picture together. And, like, without missing a beat, he's like, oh, yeah, totally. I think that would totally bring the ladies in. So... like, I get in a fairly normal, like, I'm taking a picture next to a guy pose, and, like, the instant before Chris snaps the picture, I pull off, like, the
like
cheesiest,
the instant,
like...
second before my finger hits the flash button.
It's, like, the cheesiest, most, like, grating, like, troll face, like, bro pointing at a cool guy pose that I pull off, and he's like pulling like half-hearted devil horns on my shoulder, and the caption on the image was, this is me with legendary game developer Tim Schafer. He doesn't know that I've never played a single one of his games. I have since played one of his games, or at least one game put out by his studio, that being Trenched, and I thought it was pretty goddamn good.
Yep.
Trenched is good. Their DLC games so far I've been impressed with. Stacking was really good.
Stacking, I couldn't get interested in that. Costume it's Quest, good. However, that looks really good.
Oh yeah, that's it's on right. eBay. Yeah, Costume or Quest is on eBay. Steam.
It's on eBay.
Yeah. Halloween's coming it's again. Maybe I'll try it this year.
Yeah, I will. I'll pick it up this year and see how it goes. Also, going up on the side, I don't really want to talk too much about it, but we have a write-up by a guest. Chris, would you call him a reviewer?
No, I would call him an interloper.
Yeah, we have an interloper who wrote a nice little write-up for us. I really don't want to talk too much about it, but it's going to be really interesting.
Unfortunate.
Also appropriate. So look for that within the next couple of days. Since this podcast is probably going to be posting on like Sunday, it'll probably be up by like Monday.
Right. All you Zelda fans, get ready.
Yes. That is a great hint. And also, if you like God of War, it's all going to be in that same thing.
And welfare check.
Get ready. It's going to be a powerhouse.
Hmm.
So is there anything else you guys wanted to talk about? Okay. With that, I think we're gonna sign off. Just real quick, just to tell you some stuff that's going up on the site soon. We've got Chris's Batman first impressions / review should be going up soon. Chris, do you have a rough time? That comes out Tuesday, right?
Yeah, first impressions on Wednesday, review by that weekend, hopefully.
Great. Also, as always, every Tuesday, we've got Hotness of the Week detailing that week's new releases and also just kind of going into some of the new editorial stuff that we've got going up that week. We've also got the Resident Evil feature that's up right now from Posthumous Humor Tumor, as well as sometime this week he'll have probably posting his Resident Evil complete insane retrospective of the entire Resident Evil series. I can't imagine what that looks like.
Further Posthumous. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We'll let you know when he's alive again. And, I'll have my interview with Killer Carrot going up probably Monday or so. And then our secret project by our guest writer going up probably sometime this week as well. Probably, I don't know, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'll figure it out. Also, keep your eyes open for the return of Oh God Why, the triumphant return, where Chris will be telling us all about Sega CD darling Sewer Shark. With that, I think we're going to sign off. Chris, do you want to say goodnight?
Good night, assholes.
Awesome. Matt?
Just thanks for including me and having me on as a guest. Listen to the first few podcasts and entertaining, so glad to be a part of it.
Hell yes. Pat?
Yeah, I can't believe that this is closing of episode 4 already. It's crazy it's that we've done this. Yeah. I'm looking forward to many months more.
You bet, as am I. For all of the staff who couldn't be with us, who are dead or getting laid right now, probably, I am Rock, signing off. Have a wonderful evening, everybody. Mr. Sandman, bring